Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How do you help someone connect to God and other believers in a city of over 8.5 million people? How about a large church in New York City? Redeemer Presbyterian Church has three locations in New York: West Side, East Side, and Downtown. There, you hear the preaching of Tim Keller, pastor, author, theologian, and Christian apologist. Our guest today, David Plant, lives to connect people to God and believers to one another in the dynamism of New York and Redeemer Church. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to lead you to Jesus Christ. Christ has become real in the life of David Plant. And today, we share with you the love of Christ that you too can experience what it means to have a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus. In Jesus who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ is calling people all over the world in a very personal way, even through the airwaves and media and social media, through the Good Life radio program. To you, my friend, if you haven't opened your heart to Christ, we believe this could be a great day for you if you would do just that. A life-changing moment indeed. Jesus is indeed calling you. Reverend David Plant serves as an assistant pastor at Redeemer Presbyterian Church. Growing up, he moved around quite a bit, living in Washington, D.C., Seattle, and Honolulu. He moved to New York City in 1997. He graduated from Mason Gross School of the Arts at Rutgers University and Westminster Theological Seminary, where he got his Master of Divinity degree. He and his wife, Susan, together with their son, Pascal, yes, like Blaise Pascal, live in Chelsea and are called to love and serve New York City. This is a pre-recorded interview with David Plant. Now, join us in this time with David Plant. Well, I know you grew up in numerous places, D.C., Seattle, Honolulu. What do you remember most from each of those places?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I probably never could have written the script of where I would live, but I have lived in some of the best cities, not only in the country, I think, but in the world. Certainly some of the people that I've met, Suzanne Maurer being one of them. Obviously, currently I have lived in Hawaii, and I've lived... And I currently live in Manhattan, so I love islands, evidently. We ended up moving to Honolulu, where we met Suzanne, after my father got a job out there. My father was in tunnel construction, so we moved from city to city. I think probably the mainstay with each place that we lived was our Christian faith and the sports that my brother and I played in. And we made fantastic friends in both areas, for sure.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Yeah, I would say that for sure my parents were the primary influencers in every area of my life, in particular, my spiritual life. Apart from them, some coaches that I had, and I had some really fantastic youth leaders, young life leaders. And then, of course, this group of friends that I had, people that have continued to be dear friends to me to this very day. But essentially, my parents really were the primary influencers. They were Christians. Every town that we moved to, the first thing that we would do is my father would find the Presbyterian church, and we'd begin attending on Sunday. And so the way that they treated one another, the way that everything in their life they saw as a gift from God, was made a real impression on me from the time I was very small, as long as I can remember, even till now. That being said, I did not come to any kind of a transformative experience with Jesus until I was out of the home, out of college, out in the workforce, and having to go through some harder things before I really started to have the questions and sort of the prayer life, the need actually to reach out to God and say, are you really there? Do you exist? To have a faith that my parents had and some of my friends had, but which I never did.
So how did you, David, become a Christian?
Yeah, so I was an actor. In high school and in college, I fell in love with the arts and wanted to be an actor, and I pursued that and had some good years and some tough years. I had some fantastic teachers. And all the while, I considered myself a Christian. But looking back on it, it was much more culturally. I was much more of a cultural Christian than somebody whose life would exemplify the life of Christ. So anybody in the arts is going to come up against a lot of different worldviews. And I did too. And so I experienced a lot of sort of New Age theology or philosophy. And yet I always sort of thought, well, yes, but that may be helpful here or there. But I always had this knee-jerk positive response to Jesus. Eventually, I had a good year, and I had an opportunity to move out to Los Angeles. And I had received this phone call from this particular agency, which was this big Hollywood agency, and it was the phone call I'd basically been waiting for my whole life. This was come work with us, and we represent all of these really A-list actors, people I admired, people I wanted to be like. And so I decided to move out to LA, but because Christianity was sort of in the background of my life, I still prayed. And I remember praying over the course of probably a week, which is often is how prayer works, I think. I prayed a similar prayer, and it wasn't a prayer of God, thank you. It was more of a prayer of God, thank you, but now leave me alone. It wasn't about just going out to Hollywood to land a particular role, but I wanted to go out and live this lifestyle. So it was the fast lane. It was the partying, maybe the romance that I had sort of imbibed all these years about what it would be like to be.
You come across this time in life. It often happens in the spiritual journey toward relationship with God, towards understanding the truth of God as it applies to your life. Yeah, it's a bewildering time. Well, David Plant is setting us up in a way for what he's going to share when we come back. Suzanne, haven't we all at some points had our dreams come true but realized what we were actually pursuing wasn't getting us to where we really wanted to go?
Yes, and we struggle with expectation. we have these expectations and then they seem to be being realized and it really wasn't what we expected.
Isn't it amazing grace would be a good way of saying it, how God weaves his plan through even the dislodging points of our lives when we think we've got it going on, as David does, as he's going to fulfill his dream in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. Well, we all have our own Hollywoods. We all have our own Los Angeles moments. And then there's a possible dislodging point. Well, we don't want to give it away.
No, it's coming.
And David Plant will share more with us. David is an assistant pastor at Redeemer Presbyterian Church there in New York City, along with, well, serving under the leadership of Pastor Tim Keller. Great big city, 8.5 million people. Mm. And David Plant has a heart for each of those people as the church is expansive and continues to grow. But it all comes back to David Plant's heart and his salvation experience and how he came to know Jesus personally. My friend, you can come to know Jesus personally too. When we come back, more from David Plant. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Together with his wife Susan and their son's name is Pascal, well, they are serving many people in New York City. I'm talking about Reverend David Plant. He serves as an assistant pastor at Redeemer Presbyterian Church of New York City. You can find out more about Pastor David at Redeemer.com. And if you're tuning in right now, maybe you caught the tail end of our last segment, you get this program in its entirety for free, a gift to you at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Receive that gift and share it with a family member or friend. This is a pre-recorded interview with Reverend David Plant. Before our break, he was talking about a transition, a hopeful transition, because his dream was about to come true by going to Los Angeles, there to Hollywood as an actor. Here's more with Reverend David Plant, and Suzanne Maurer and I will be back with some thoughts as we go along.
Imbibed all these years about what it would be like to be working in Hollywood and maybe become a movie star or something like that. And so I prayed this prayer, and it was kind of a Jonah story. I was in Madison Avenue in New York, and I prayed this prayer that God would leave me alone. And eventually I moved out to LA. And, you know, I can really honestly say that the bottom dropped out for me. I experienced probably the hardest year and a half that I had ever imagined. I grew up a pretty privileged life, very suburban, Didn't want for much. My father, you know, provided a good home for us. We were not, by any stretch of the imagination, wealthy, but we lived in beautiful cities. I got to live in Hawaii. You know, it was a pretty fantastic life, and I never anticipated that I would ever really struggle. So when I got out to Los Angeles, that's exactly what happened. I really did struggle. I wasn't as good at an auditioner as I needed to be auditioning for the kinds of things I was auditioning for. It was at a pretty high level. And over the course of maybe 6 or 8 months, I didn't book anything. And I ended up getting dropped by this agency in a very kind of cold way. And it was really the best thing for me. But it didn't feel like that at the time. And so I sunk into a depression. Now, by nature, I'm a very gregarious, outgoing, extroverted person. But I found that I was isolating myself quite a bit and just spending a lot of time alone, not going out too much. And I was really struggling with identity issues. I had defined myself by my vocation. And to the degree that I was happy or sad was to the degree to which I was successful. If I had a good audition, I was skipping down the street. If I had a bad audition, I didn't know who I was. And therefore, when I was dropped by this particular agency, I really didn't know who I was. I struggled with identity because I didn't understand myself. You know, in hindsight, I didn't understand myself first and foremost as a child of God. So, and of course, if you're a child of God, then, you know, although you will experience trials, there is an unshakableness to your life, as painful as life can still be. So at about that time, a friend of mine re-entered my life. She was somebody I knew in graduate school where I had studied acting, and we started talking, and she started talking about Jesus, and it was really healing for me. I hadn't been involved in Christian community in any way, shape, or form. I went to church occasionally. And so she started talking about Jesus, and it brought healing to my soul. Mm-hmm. And so we started having more and more conversations. And as it turned out, her understanding of Christianity and mine, or her understanding of Christianity and what I would say is Orthodox Christianity, really differed. And so when it came to things like the Trinity, the resurrection, things that I would say were more tried and true historical Orthodox Christian faith, authority of Scripture, that kinds of things, we really she would mention those things and with disdain, or she didn't believe in that version of Christianity. And for some reason, I knew enough about Christianity that was highly problematic. My mother was working at a church in Palm Springs because that was the last place that my father, the last job my father had before he retired. And so around that time, as we were having these discussions, occasionally I would drive out to my parents and talk with them. And one time we had a discussion around the Trinity, and surprisingly, it really struck a nerve with me. And I say surprisingly because I wasn't really a Christian, and or at least I didn't recognize myself in that way, but it was starting to happen, I think. And so I drove from L.A. to Palm Springs, which is like an hour and a half, and I was so bothered by it. I think I felt like, you know, if I'm not an actor, if my life may not turn out to be the way that I think it will, you know, I really felt like if one or two more things happened in my life, I could be on the street. It was sort of that bad. And it just was something I had never anticipated. And so it was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back. If Christianity, if Jesus wasn't who I had always thought him to be, then not only is my life going to be different, but my whole my whole family life is a sham. Can I believe in that? Mm. And so it really was really difficult. So I drove an hour and a half out to Palm Springs, and I was crying the whole time. And I'm in my mid-20s. I'd had a master's degree. I was an accomplished person to some degree. And so I couldn't really, I was having a hard time coping. And so I went out there to my family and had this discussion with them. And I ended up phoning some coaches and some old friends and had to ask them some questions about Christianity. And many of them were extremely helpful. And I would say this, the people that I had in my life growing up, the youth pastors, the coaches, they always had a faith that I didn't quite understand. It was a little more vibrant. Jesus meant something to them. They were passionate about it. It was at the center of their being. That was the most important thing to them. And I knew that that was not how I felt about Jesus. And so looking back, they were markers for me. They were pillars of truth for me. And, if you're out there in the world in the arts, pillars of truth are really hard to find because we live in a postmodern world where you can really see through everything. We don't put a lot of faith in any human institutions. We begin to think that Christianity is just another human institution. And so I was sort of in that place, and I saw these men and these women, and I knew that they were true. And so I started to call them and, ask them about Scripture. Is the Trinity orthodox thinking? Is that really what we believe? Yes, it is. Explore more. This is where you can find that in Scripture. So they continued to be really helpful to me. My parents thought he's either coming to faith or he's having a nervous breakdown. And they probably were both happening at the same time. And so about that time, I started having very sincere prayer experiences with God. And to be honest, they were sometimes pretty irreverent. It was, if you are who you say you are, you need to show up. I was somewhat demanding. I was desperate and praying authentically, sincerely, probably for the first time. So over the course of that summer, God really did show up. I ended up moving back to New York City, and providentially, he set me up in this apartment for less money than I was paying in L.A., and New York real estate, of course, is sky high.
Well, David Plant is going through a conversion experience. I mean, he's describing it for us. One of the things that really stand out is his ability to go back to testimonies. He calls them markers of truth, people in his life that touched him in times past. Sometimes we forget, Suzanne, don't we, about how impactful our lives are with people in various parts of life, and they might refer back to us in times to come.
Well, and what's interesting for me, Danny, is I had the joy of watching David go through this. And it's interesting, and I wonder how this will impact our listeners, but he had me fooled because we went to the same church every Sunday, and I just thought this young man really had it all together. And how often we not only fool ourselves, but we fool others. And this is a little bit of what he's sharing, of trying to find out truths and even truth about himself.
It's not always we or others are not always as we seem or others may seem or come across. Sometimes mm-hmm. there's a lot more going on, or maybe God is doing more work, or more work obviously needs to be done in each of our lives. But you were one of those markers for him too, Suzanne. I've heard him speak so highly of you.
Well, thank you. I mean, in hindsight, praise the Lord. But he went through quite a period of time where these markers were on the back burner. And now to think, the years that he's had at Redeemer Prez, it's just incredibly wonderful. So we have a God we can trust.
And today he's bearing much fruit, he and his wife.
Oh,
and,
yes.
The church there in New York City. And when we come back, more from David Plant. You know, Sam, one of the things I really appreciate about David is his ability to describe, to paint the picture so we can see and go and take the journey with him.
Aren't we? I feel like we're right there with him.
The journey of his conversion.
Yes.
Conversion to faith. And the reality and relatability of that experience relating with someone today who's listening. Maybe you are resonating with David in some form in the journey.
Yes.
And it's our hope and our prayer, as I always say, that you would come to a similar place, or the same place, really, to put your faith in Christ. But notice, it's not by skipping over the concerns that you had, the questions you've had. He's worked through it, and you may need to work through it. The Lord is with you there to help you work through it.
And there's good news to come.
Stay with us. We'll be right back with more from David Plant.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
David Plant sharing heart to heart with you, with us. You can find out more about him at Redeemer.com. David describes his conversion experience, and in this pre-recorded interview, he'll explain not only how he came to faith in Christ, really came to grips. Well, he's going to share about what it's like to listen to the Word of God over and over, what takes place in one's heart by that kind of exposure. Find out more about this program. Get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And again, David Plant, along with Senior Pastor Tim Keller, Redeemer Presbyterian Church at redeemer.com. Now, here's more of this pre-recorded interview. And as always in this program, Suzanne Maurer and I will be back with some comments to go along the way.
Two, which, you know, if you know New York prices, that's outrageous to be able to pay that little. And there was not a stick of furniture in this apartment except for a cot and a tape player. And so over the course of this summer, I read my Bible, and I listened to tapes from this new church that I was going to, which was Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City. And God showed up, and he met me. And so I would read the Bible, and, you know, the way that it works, God seems to work, is that all these skills that I had learned training as an actor really came in handy when I started reading the Bible. You know, actors are trained to analyze text, break down literature. And so I would be reading these stories about Jesus and Nicodemus in John 3, or Jesus and the woman at the well in John 4, or Paul in his letters to his friends and to the churches around. And I just started to deduce all of these truthful moments and see how real the Bible was. You know, it's this ancient text, and yet it was so vibrant and authentic and sincere, and Jesus just leapt off the page to me. So I just, you know, I just started to fall in love with him. You know, in some ways it was as simple as that. Now, as a modern person, I had all kinds of other questions going on. Can I trust this as an ancient document? Is it true that Jesus can be the only way to God in a, you know, a pluralistic society? What about suffering? What about evil? How did evil enter into the world? What about human sexuality? We're a modern people. We have different opinions about human sexuality than the Bible puts forth. You know, just tons and tons of questions. And over time, I prayed through them. I learned that you could really trust the Bible, that it's the gold standard for ancient texts. And, you know, I was broke, so what I would do is I'd go to Barnes & Noble. I'd sit there for an hour or two, and I'd just pick up a book, and I'd just read it over the course of a week, every day for an hour or so. And I just gained more and more confidence in the historical Christian faith. So I know I'm just talking on and on, so if you want to ask any questions, just jump right in. But the teaching at my church was incredibly helpful, and I really am a believer in the power of preaching, to speak into a given community. And so over probably 4 or 5 months, I realized that something was happening to me, and it was really wonderful. And I was on the corner of 57th and 9th Avenue in New York City, which is in Midtown. And I was about to cross the street, and I was wondering, I was saying to myself, am I becoming a Christian? Is this what it is to be born again? You know, I thought I was a Christian all my life, and yet there was this life-giving power that, you know, I don't think I could have named it that or put my finger on it, but that was what was happening in me. Mm-hmm. And I realized that whether I wanted to or not, I don't think I could turn back. I just simply knew too much. And though I was scared to go forward, I was scared to identify myself as a Christian in New York City, afraid for my life or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes we love the praise of men more than we love the praise of God. And so I struggled in that way. But I figured, I know too much to turn back, and I have to move forward. And so I did. And I started calling myself a Christian and calling myself a follower of Jesus. And I think one of the things that was actually pretty convincing for me was that I found myself often laughing and crying throughout the week over the love of God. Hmm. So I would laugh. Okay, well, I would say I would cry, because I began to really think about what happened to Jesus. That God isn't the God first comes in judgment. He first comes to save. You know, he comes, that's in the middle part of John 12, I believe. Jesus says, I didn't come to bring judgment, I come to bear judgment. I came to take the judgment that you deserve. And so I would find myself crying over what he went through for me. I think it was Lee Strobel's book, which is a very good book for anybody who might be considering Christianity. You know, it's a very written on a very popular level. And he breaks down from a medical perspective what happened to Jesus on the cross.
David, excuse me, is it The Case for Christ? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, sorry. Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ.
Okay. I want our listeners to
know. Yeah, no, that's right. And so that was, so I read that, and I think he talks about, you know, a coroner and analyzes the biblical texts and deduces what happened to Jesus there. And I was just reading that, and just to think that he went through that for me. And of course, that was just the physical death, you know, the cosmic separation from God hit me even harder. You know, even now I get choked up even thinking about it. But then realizing that he had reconciled my relationship with God, that God no longer looked at me as a broken and sinful person, but he looked at me in the same way that he looked at Jesus because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. And my relationship with him had been reconciled. And I had this assurance of this relationship that really was visceral. I felt it and I read about it in scripture. And it really was visceral for me.
What do you appreciate most, David, as you're growing, as you describe your growing as a Christian? I mean, it's, when you say visceral, it's so very deep. It's touching your gut. How did the Lord, through that, call you to ministry? I mean, what kind of work were you doing at that time?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you. At the time, I started attending Redeemer and working in a bar at the exact same time, in the same month. And this was a very famous New York City bar establishment. It was very sort of the epitome of the New York fast lane. And, you know, I needed to make money, and it was a great job to have. And so I took that, and I started working and started going to church. And so sometimes I'd work all night in this bar and then I'd come to church in the morning. And so that's where I was. You might help me again with a question, Danny. But that's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. That was my job at the time.
Mm-hmm. How did the Lord call you to ministry?
Yeah, so after so while I was working in this bar, which was the place I didn't really want to be in, although I met some amazing people in there, that wasn't what I felt like I was called to be in life. But providentially, that's where I met my wife. And her office was across the street, and she was one of my regulars. So every few days their office would come down and after work and we'd all hang out. We were all friends. And eventually, we ended up going out on a date. And at the time, my wife was going through a particular period in her life where she was asking a lot of questions.
Ah, the plot thickens as he meets his future wife in a bar. As he's growing closer and closer to Christ. And he's working in a bar. But the Lord is going to use all of this. Oh, you think, man, there's some things that are pretty whacked in my life that I don't really want to talk too much about it, because especially in Christian circles, you know how people might get a little bit sticky on certain points. You have to say things the right way or not say things, and you sort of hold back because they don't always line up. But that's the beauty of the Lord Jesus. That's what one of the things I love when I read Suzanne. When I read the Bible, the Lord was working with a lot of obtuse situations in life and was able to work through and with people.
Danny, if I could just share with our listeners, because it's a very important point. David's parents, Tom and Pam, are two of my sweetest friends in life. And let me tell you how we bumped up our prayer life when David took the job at the bar. And honestly, I think every one of us that establishes a personal relationship with Christ has been prayed into the kingdom. And I think that's so vital for our listeners to hear and to think about. We need to be prayer warriors for those that we love and those that we know that don't yet know him. And so we were on our knees while he was working at the bar.
Well, and here's the thing along those lines. Ironically, the Lord may be bringing someone even closer when they're at a place, maybe working or close to some place where you think it would be contradictory.
Yes.
To where they should be or where one should be. Or perhaps someone today, maybe you're in one of those situations. Or you know someone, maybe a child, maybe a grandchild, maybe a niece or nephew. Well, like Suzanne and David's parents, oh, they prayed all the more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's even a clarion call for us to pray all the more. And, you know, as we pray, even in the mystery of the way God answers prayer, when we pray, he answers.
Yes.
And when we pray fervently, God moves in powerful ways. When we come back from our break, more from David Platt. I've been just enjoying this, Suzanne, just listening to him.
Well, and I want to also add, he answered in ways that at that time, his parents and I would never have even imagined. As David shares more, you'll see what I'm saying.
Yeah, more from David Plant. You can find out more about his ministry at Redeemer Presbyterian Church, Redeemer.com there in New York City. Find out more about David, and I look forward, and you should too. When we come back, he'll share more from David Plant. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
David Plant has been on staff at Redeemer Church since 2006. He served as the creator of the New Birth Portrait series, something that you should check out there at redeemer.com, a great outreach tool for you to use. But how did he even get there, to the place where he was ready for ministry, was trained for ministry? How did he make that transition? Well, that's what he's talking with us about in this pre-recorded interview. You can find out more about him at redeemer.com and get this program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Here's more with Pastor David Plant, and of course, Suzanne and I will be back with a few comments in a few moments.
And we'd all hang out. We were all friends. And eventually, we ended up going out on a date. And at the time, my wife was going through a particular period in her life where she was asking a lot of questions. And through our conversations over one summer, we fell in love, and she became a Christian, or she became a Christian, and we fell in love. And it was through that, our friendship, that she began to nudge me in the direction of ministry. I had a lot of non-Christian friends who were saying, because, you know, when you work in a restaurant, very few people are doing it because they want to open a restaurant. They're often doing it because they're trying to do something else. Mm. And so I was trying to think of what I could be doing, and acting, you know, it was just more and more tough years. And so I started thinking about ministry, and around that time I started leading a community group at my church. And there was just a tremendous amount of yes and amen to the things that were happening in that group. I was being shaped by the people in it. I was privileged enough to play that same role in their life. We just felt that God had taken this group of people and done something really beautiful in it. It was tremendously diverse. None of us were alike. And yet we all felt like catalyzed by the work of God in the city. So that made me start thinking, wow, I really like doing this. And my non-Christian friends, when we would talk about what are we going to do with our lives, a lot of them would say, you should go into ministry. Now, I think a lot of it was because I spent a lot of time in church, and I was reading Bible studies, and, you know, I'm listening to Tim Keller's ministry all the time. And so I'm imparting to them things that were imparted to me. And they, I'm sure, you know, after listening to Tim, they thought I was very, very smart. But I think primarily I was just a good listener. And I enjoyed talking with people and processing some hard questions. And I think the gospel really just humbled me, so that when I would talk to them, it really helped me from being judgmental. It helped me from being divisive. And I just wanted, when you become a Christian, you come into contact with your sin. Mm-hmm. And one of the wonderful things about that is it humbles you. And, you know, our sin can be pretty ugly, as you know, and yet God still loves us. And so to be able to listen to somebody who is struggling with all manner of things, and to not look at them with judgment, which is oftentimes they feel that Christians will do that to them. So anyway, I started asking people about ministry here at the church, asking the pastors here on staff, you know, is this crazy that I would think about going into ministry? And none of them thought it was crazy. They all thought, actually, this was something I should consider. So I ended up going off to Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, and I worked here at the church, and I'd commute down for 4 years. I'd go down for a few days a week, which I don't recommend as a way to go through seminary, but you know, seminary was just a pivotal experience for me. And I was certainly shaped by seminary. I'm more shaped by my church than seminary.
How did those years in seminary shape you?
How did they affect me?
Yes.
Well, it gave me a tremendous amount of confidence in our faith, in the Christian faith. I think, you know, seminary can get a bad rap, and some of them deserve it, I would imagine. Westminster is a seminary that really puts all of its weight onto the authority of Scripture and the historicity of the church and, you know, the literal resurrection of Jesus, and honors what we have, what's deposited there in Scripture, and loves the gospel, that Christ died to save sinners. He came for sinners, not for the righteous. And so that was really helpful for me to understand church history, for me to walk through, systematic theology is really helpful, Old Testament, to go through all of these courses by people who are editing the Bibles that we're reading. You know, I don't want to necessarily do a public service announcement for any seminary, but that's what I got. I walked out of there with a great deal of confidence, felt like I could begin to handle the Scriptures. You take courses like courses on the Holy Spirit. You take all kinds of courses, and so they're helpful. But I think you must be involved in a church at the same time to be able, so you're not just in some think tank, but you're actually able to take the things that you're learning and begin to apply them and see them lived out. And hopefully that they're helping people.
David, were you
love,
and Susan
love the
married?
Lord more.
Excuse me. Were you and Susan married while you were in seminary?
We were, yeah. I don't know that I could have done it if I wasn't married to Susan at the time.
I can understand that.
Yeah. You know, it's just like any graduate program. It's really tough. It's really tough. And sometimes, you know, it looks like failure when you're halfway through it. But you need people who love you and support you and are encouraging of you. And, you know, we'd look outside our window and we'd pray here in New York, God, would you do something for us? This was the apartment that you've been in, Susan.
I know.
And we'd pray, you know, would you put us to work doing something? And lo and behold, not only would I end up going to work at Redeemer, but the church in which I would serve was literally right outside our window.
Put us to work, Suzanne. Lord, would you put us to work doing something? And look what the Lord has done. What a heart. What a prayer. What a yearning cry.
Well, a couple of real quick things. You mentioned the portraits. Mm-hmm. One of his projects was to do 10 different portraits of people, and one of them was Eric Mtasek. Mm-hmm. And what a fun time that was for him. And then Susan is an architect. And she ended up being an architect for projects for Redeemer. So the Lord really did put them to work.
Yeah, I think you mentioned earlier in one of our previous conversations that she had a leading role even in the building that was built.
Yes.
There in the city, the mm-hmm. city of New York.
Yeah.
Well, what a life he is, he and his wife, what a life they're leading. They're reaching people with the love of Christ. What a rich experience.
Yes.
That he's had. And also for us to observe how God prepares people for the next stage of their lives.
Yes.
He's certainly not haphazard about what he's doing. And my friend, it might seem a little bit, some aspects of life may seem a bit off kilter or out of place, but it's not beyond what God is able to do in the form of preparation in your life. So don't get too worked up or too bent out of shape when you or you see someone who may be in an area where, as God is at work, the Lord is actually preparing them. A final thought from you, Suzanne, as we close our show today.
The joy it is to look back and see and realize and recognize, yes, God was at work. He was preparing. He had a plan, and He, by His grace, has brought it to fruition. That's just one of the exciting, wonderful aspects of Christianity, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And so today, even as the Lord has reached David, perhaps the Lord, maybe you can sense, maybe you are sensing, feeling, knowing that the Lord Jesus, maybe like in the city of New York, He stops and He says, okay, right here in Midtown Manhattan,
yes,
I am being, is this what it is to be born again? Maybe today, where you are right now, in an office, driving in your car, listening to this, maybe in your room, maybe somewhere at work, maybe even in a jail cell or some place mm-hmm. that it's hard to mention right now. But the Lord is reaching you through the radio waves or through the internet. And maybe this is a moment where you say, ah, is this what it's like to be born again? I hope you've been encouraged by the story of David Plant. Find out more at Redeemer.com. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. We believe that. Go to thegoodlifeway.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. Stand with us with your financial support, thegoodlife.com. Click Partners. Psalm 78:35. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to David Plant, Redeemer.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.